Good evening. This is your word of mouth news for Friday, July the 30th, 2010. It is 6:03 in the PM. My name is Kristen Schwartz, and I'll be one of your hosts for the next little bit.
And I am Susie Alvarez.
On tonight's show, we're going to be featuring a live conversation with Dar Jamil, who is reporting from the Gulf Coast on the ongoing ecological disaster caused by the explosion of BP's oil drilling operations a few months ago.
Then at 6:30 p.m., we're going to turn the mic over to the Ontario Coalition Against Poverty as they bring us their regular coverage from the grassroots struggles for dignity and respect.
But first, these are some headlines tonight, thanks to Democracy Now!, CTV, CBC, and the Daily Mail from the United Kingdom.
And Canada's Supreme Court has ruled that Robert William Picton will not get a new trial for the murder of six women in British Columbia. The unanimous ruling all but guarantees that the former BC pig farmer will not face further legal action in the deaths of 20 other women who were murdered in Vancouver's downtown east side. These cases will likely be discontinued because under Canadian law, any additional convictions could not result in any increase to the sentence that Mr. Picton has already received. In December of 2007, Picton was found guilty of six counts of second-degree murder in the deaths of Serena Abotswe, Mona Wilson, Andrea Josbury, Georgina Papin, Marnie Frey, and Brenda Wolf. He was sentenced to life in prison with no chance of parole for at least 25 years, which is the maximum sentence under Canadian law for murder.
Family members of Picton's suspected victims, including the 20 other women he was charged with killing and many, many more, are calling for a public inquiry into the case. Among them is Sandra Gagnon, whose sister, Janet Henry, went missing in 1997. Henry used to party at Picton's home, and Gagnon says the Missing Women's Task Force is almost certain that she died there. Now she fears they will never know. She said today, there needs to be an inquiry into why the police didn't do more right from the beginning when they found out that women were going missing and when they heard about that farm.
And the United Nations General Assembly has declared for the first time that access to clean water and sanitation is a fundamental human right. In a historic vote Wednesday, 122 countries supported the resolution and over 40 countries abstained from voting, including the United States, Canada, and several European and other industrialized countries. There were no votes against the resolution.
And an international treaty banning cluster bombs goes into effect on Sunday, but the United States, as well as Russia and Israel, have refused to sign the treaty. All three countries have used cluster bombs in recent years. Other key countries who've refused to sign the treaty include Brazil, China, India, Pakistan, and South Korea.
And the Grammy Award-winning singer Wyclef Jean has taken legal steps towards running for president in his home country of Haiti. But he says he has not made a definite decision to run. Haiti will hold elections on November the 28th to elect a new leader to replace President René Préval, whose term ends in February. Wyclef Jean spoke to reporters at the Port-au-Prince International Airport. Quote, a lot of rumors going around that I'm running for president. I have not declared that despite what you're hearing. Right now, like the press is saying, as a family, we must decide what we're doing and what we're going to do. Because it's a big sacrifice, but it's the real sacrifice of the country. But we could just say right now, the voice of the youth is definitely drafting us, unquote. And on a commentary there, I think it's good to note that Wyclef Jean is no stranger to being in relation to political maneuvering. His family has served in various, positions, aiding and assisting Washington, especially during the time of the coup and the occupation. Wyclef Jean, as much as he comes across as a person of progressive and politically progressive inclination, there's more there that meets the eye. I think it's best for people to do some research and maybe consult the Black Agenda report because they've dug a lot of stuff on Wycliffe.
Thanks for that, Susie. Now on to some environmental news. Microscopic marine algae, which form the basis of the ocean food chain, are dying at a terrifying rate, according to a study released on Wednesday by researchers at Dalhousie University in Halifax. Phytoplankton, described as the fuel on which marine ecosystems run, are experiencing declines of about 1% of the average total a year. The annual falls translate to a 40% drop in phytoplankton since 1950. The reduction in the amount of algae in the seas could have an impact on a wide range of species, from tiny zooplankton to marine mammals, seabirds, fish, and humans. If confirmed, the decline of the phytoplankton would be a more dramatic change to nature's delicate balance than the loss of the tropical rainforests, the scientists said. The research, which was published in the journal Nature, said the declines were linked to rising sea surface temperatures and changes in the conditions of the ocean, particularly close to the equator.
And in news from Michigan, U.S. regulators warned a subsidiary of Canadian company Enbridge that it wasn't adequately monitoring the corrosion of a pipeline. That was back in January. This week, that pipeline leaked an estimated 3.8 million liters of oil into the Kalamazoo River. It's not the first time the company has caught the attention of the government agency in the United States. Since 2002, Enbridge and its affiliates have been cited 30 times by the U.S. Department of Transportation's regulatory branch.
Meanwhile, in Vancouver, activists with Greenpeace were arrested at Enbridge's offices for protesting the company's plans to build twin pipelines from the tar sands through the Great Bear Rainforest to the BC coast. If successful, the company would bring more than 200 crude oil tankers through the rough waters of northern BC for the first time. The activists, who are concerned about a repeat of the Gulf oil disaster still underway, were released hours after their arrest.
And in London, England, Greenpeace volunteers shut down BP stations across the city this week. On Tuesday, activists stopped the flow of oil to pumps to close to 50 stations by removing shut-off switches. And of course, we'll have more coverage of the devastating impact of the oil leak in the Gulf of Mexico after the break. This is your word of mouth news. Stay tuned. We're going to go on a musical break because 57 years ago was the Cuban Revolution, 1953, July 26th. That's when the attack on the Moncada barracks took place. So apropos, we're going to play a song by Jane Bunnett and the spirit of Guantanamo, the sounds of Guantanamo, and the name of the song is Kiriba. And hello and welcome back. This is your word of mouth news for Friday, July the 30th. And we have had some really funny things happening here, trying to get in touch with Mr. Dar Jamal to get this interview going with regards to the BP explosion, spill, cleanup, and everything else that's happening in the Gulf Coast at this moment. And we're trying his cell phone, we're trying his landline, and we have him on email, and on his end, everything seems to be okay. But on our end, we're just not making contact. So we're going to probably defer it for another Friday. Hopefully, we will be able to get him live, or if not, we'll try something pre-recorded, because whatever he has to say is very, very insightful and very powerful from someone who's been there. He's actually just returned to Tampa, Florida, from the Gulf Coast. He spent about 3 weeks driving along the coast with his partner and visiting the affected areas. And he was in contact with folks who work in the region, a lot of them fishermen and fisher people. There's a lot of other communities that have been affected by the spill. And he's been doing quite a lot of insightful and involved reporting from that area. If you want to read some really great articles that he has put together, we encourage you to visit his website, which is located at www.daharjamailiraq.com. And one other very interesting fact about Mr. Dar Jamal is that he is an award-winning independent journalist who in 2003 reported independently and unembedded from Iraq, where he was able to witness and accurately report on the realities of the war in Iraq as they were being experienced and are being experienced by the Iraqi people and the U.S. soldiers. So he has quite a lot of experience in the field of journalism, and journalism that it's not twisted and manipulated, that it's not mainstream, that it's actually very grassrooted and very touching. So once again, we encourage you to visit his website, as well as visit truth-out.org and look up recent articles written on the subject of BP and the explosion of their rig in the Gulf of Mexico. In this most recent report that he wrote on his visit, he speaks about the socioeconomic impact that the explosion and the spill has had on the people in the region. But he also speaks about the environmental and public health impacts. And from what we understand, during the time that he visited the zones where people were engaged in cleaning, it was very evident that the air was toxic, that your eyes will become red and that you will be tearing, that it was not something that was safe. And from what we've read in other reports posted by other people that have been following the situation in the region, very little training and safety precautions are being taken on the part of whomever is leading the cleanup when it comes to those people who are employed to actually perform the tasks. One another report that we were able to read online focuses specifically on communities of Vietnamese American peoples who live in Louisiana and who have come to the United States following the Vietnam War and also in recent years to work in the shrimping industry and to work as in fishing, in the area of fishing, and how they have been impacted economically and socially, and how they've also been targeted by the contracting agencies that are coming to all of these impoverished communities, communities of people who are working poor and very poor, and enlisting them to help out in the cleanup, and enlisting them in such a rush manner without proper training, and then putting them out there in the field without much thought about their safety and the repercussions of their involvement in a very hazardous activity. Another bit that we were able to assess through our research online was that BP throughout the past weeks has been very, very media savvy and has purchased thousands of dollars in Google AdWords, so that when people were researching or searching for information and updates on what was happening in the Gulf Coast and with regards to the cleanup and the spill, everything that was coming up in your first 100 or so searches was information and facts that were being put out there by BP people, BP staff, and BP contracted media. So yeah, it's quite an important subject. I think it's not a subject that it's just wrapped up because the rig has been repaired and the cleanup is almost all over. I think it's something that it's going to be lingering in the region for many, many years to come. So we'll hope that we'll get Mr. Jamil on the phone soon to speak about it.
Yeah, I don't think that the cleanup is wrapping up either.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Just in the news today, there was a story about the fact that another effort to staunch the flow has been postponed or is not going to work out. So there's going to be plenty more commentary on this disaster for sure.
Oh, obviously. There are some really horrific reports of people that are like waking up in the middle of the night and seeing and hearing crab that are like actually running out from the water and into the land, the mainland, because the water is so toxic and the whole, you know, ecosystem down in the Gulf has been, you know, turned upside down. So it's a horror story. Like from every angle you look at it, it's just a horror story. So we'll keep you posted and we'll try to make this interview happen pretty soon, and we thank you for tuning in. Just wanted to give a quick rundown of the music that we were able to play for you, and it was all by Jane Bonnet and coming from her CD Radio Guantanamo, and it was Guantanamo Blues and Kiriba. And I think we're gonna go to Oak Up Radio, so keep it locked on 88.1 FM. This is your word of mouth news.
Hi, this is Christoph. You've been listening to CKLN at 88.1 FM, where you will find out more things than you ever thought possible.